It's a large, technically challenging project. We have funding from the Grains and Research Development Corporation, or GRDC, for a three-year project, which we hope to be able to make a lot of progress on getting a good draft sequence of a particular narrow-leaf lupin cultivar, as well as useful information on variation in genome sequences in other narrow-leaf lupin cultivars. That will be very helpful in getting a better picture of what the genome content of this important species is.
You're talking about one cultivar. How difficult would it be to get the genome sequence for all the different cultivars? Do you have to do a separate one for each?
You normally do a really good job on one, and that's then called the reference genome for that species. And then once that's in hand, and that's the difficult bit, to getting that one really good reference genome, then getting additional ones based on that is a lot easier.
Why is this an important step forward for research into lupins?
It's something that we just wouldn't have even been able to dream of doing even a couple of years ago, but the technology has improved dramatically. It's now something that is doable and feasible here in Australia. What it will do is give us, particularly for the gene-rich, the gene part of the genome. So we estimate if lupins are like some other legumes whose genome has been sequenced, they belong to that family of plants called legumes, like peas and beans and soybean, it's going to have somewhere around 50 to 60,000 genes. And those are what we really want to get an idea of. What are those genes? How are they organized? Where do they sit on the genome? Because the genome is broken up into a number of chromosomes, which are the units that are passed on and which breeders then use in their breeding exercises. Whereas at the moment, we have a very, very limited knowledge of the narrow-leaf lupin genome. Hopefully, in 3 years' time, and we will be publishing on the web the progress on the draft genome. We're not going to wait till we've finished everything. We'll then be updating it and improving it. We will have orders and orders of magnitude more insight and information, which can then be very helpful to target breeding strategies for important traits that we want to improve, and in some cases to try to remove, because it's a relatively recently domesticated crop. And so there are still some undesirable features that we would like to limit from a grower's perspective.
So are we talking about traits like drought tolerance or disease resistance? Those are the things that you'd obviously want to enhance in a project like this.
Absolutely. Anthracnose, for example, has crippled the lupin industry in the not-so-distant past and is still a problem for other lupin species that we'd like to be able to grow better here in Australia and the West. Drought is an increasing problem, but there are others as well. And this project is actually going to be conducted through what's called the Centre for Food and Genomic Medicine, a West Australian state initiative that's been going for about 3 years. In that initiative, we're particularly interested in the lupin grain and what might be important attributes in the grain that could be useful from a human health point of view. Of course, if we can improve its use as an animal feed, as a higher value animal feed, aquaculture, those are also very desirable and things that we would be trying to gain information to help in that process.
Well, we'll come back to those points in just a moment. But first of all, do you think that research into lupins has lagged behind that of other grains? Is this a bit of a catch-up strategy?
No, I don't think so. I think one has to bear in mind that lupins are mainly researched and grown here in WA. So unlike other grains where there is significant research activities going on in many parts of the world, that collectively then provides a body of information that everybody eventually has access to potentially and can utilize in the lupin field are limited because it's primarily researched and grown, particularly in Western Australia. But having said that, and the other point, of course, is that the improvement that the breeding effort, particularly out of the Department of Agriculture here in WA, has been very, very good and has taken something that was only domesticated about 50 years ago to a valuable, some would say a very essential part of the sustainable cropping system here in WA, particularly in the northern sand plains. The genome sequence is going to allow what's called comparative genomics to be heavily utilized by the lupin community. Other grain legumes, other plants, but particularly grain legumes, because they're the most closely related to lupins, are having their genome sequenced. Soybean was completed a couple of years ago. Whereas before, you were doing your research to some degree in isolation. With the lupin sequence, there will be the ability to compare and contrast to these other grain legumes. And so genes that might be important for drought tolerance, as you mentioned, or for yield that are being identified, or regions that are important for that in, say, soybean through a much larger research effort, can be valuable pointers to look in lupins, save us a lot of time and effort. They won't be successful every time, because lupins sometimes will be different, but I suspect in a number of cases we'll see that we'll be able to exploit and utilize much more the other grain legume research that's going on with this lupin genome sequence to help accelerate its improvements.
The research that's already been carried out on lupins has identified genes which produce proteins which are important for those nutritional aspects that you touched on before. Has this been the actual trigger for further research?
That's the part that my group, which I lead, has been involved in the last 3 years. We didn't work on lupins before that. We work on other aspects of legumes, particularly disease aspects. But it's the opportunities that have come, firstly, through the creation of CFGM and the ability to work in a somewhat unique way with colleagues in the food and in the more agricultural areas, and particularly really good medical research teams working on things like diabetes, which has really got us excited and got us involved. And so we've been contributing to one part of the genome, if you like, of narrowleaf lupin, that is the genes that are actually being expressed in a grain when it's going through its major filling stage, and trying to see what those genes are and how they are similar or different to other grain legumes, and which ones might be potential candidates for some of the exciting health attributes that our colleagues in the centre are finding. We've been doing genomics on pathogen genomes, for example, in my group and others. So we've been gaining that expertise. So when this call came and the GRDC decided to try to put out a tender call, we were very excited about it and felt that we were in a position to try to lead and manage this project.
Are the genes that are producing these proteins that could be vital for human health, are they the same ones that might increase the value of lupins as a crop which will go to stock food?
Yes, the major genes that we've been focusing on are, at the moment in our current activities in the grain, are what are called seed storage proteins. And this is a group of genes that are only really expressed at that seed development stage, never at other parts of the plant's development or other tissues. And their job really is to put a lot of value and nutrients into the developing grain, that when the seedling germinates and it starts to grow, and before it's become self-sufficient through its own photosynthetic activities, it can draw on those resources. Farmers, and this is true for all grains, of course, have then utilized that rich source of nutrients that are locked in these sorts of proteins as what they can then do to provide both animal and human feed. So if we can get better composition of those seed storage proteins, potentially higher levels, that should have benefits certainly also for animal feed, and in that case, lupins and aquaculture are an exciting area.
And that could also increase the value of lupins as a crop to the producers?
Well, that's what we're hoping. At the moment, only 4% of the lupin goes towards human food. There's a lot of interest now as these health attributes are coming through more and more. We're hoping that if it was adopted more as a human food, that would translate into higher price potentially straight away, but also increased demand, and that would flow back. Because that's one of the problems for lupins at the moment from a grower's point of view, is that the input costs have been going up, but the price, particularly because soybean has been very productive and many parts of the world producing it, has kept a dampener on price. And so they're getting this squeeze of their input costs going up, some seasons being, particularly this last one, but a number, unfortunately, over the recent years, as you would know, being far from desirable in terms of rainfall, and the price not really changing. What that's been doing is causing a reduction in growers' use of lupins, and that's why we in CSIRO started to get involved, because in the long term, it's very important for sustainable cropping that there is a viable set of break crops, not just wheat after wheat, because otherwise disease pressures and other things will build up. And legumes, because they can fix their own nitrogen and then by enrich the soil, reducing input costs for that crop, but also by enriching the soil for subsequent crops, tend to do a lot better, are a very good one if we can get it right. But they have to be, of course, profitable for the farmers, and that's where we hope this investment by GRDC and the partners, because the combined investment is about a little over $3 million, involving in-kind and cash contributions from some of the partners as well.
As you mentioned, this is an international effort between the CSIRO and collaborators in China, Europe, Japan and the United States. Who ends up owning the intellectual property rights for this research?
The international partners are in an advisory role at this point, although in the case of the Chinese collaborators, we may actually use their facilities to do some of the sequencing and some of the assembly. The project is not seeking to gain intellectual property rights. In fact, the mandate we have from the GRDC, and we're very supportive of that, is that we want to make this information as widely and as freely available as possible, as early as possible. That's why I say we'll have drafts and we'll update it so that everybody who's got an interest in lupins from a research and or breeding point of view can utilize this information to try to improve the crop. The downstream research based on that genome sequence, which we will be doing and others for targeted traits, that is intellectually useful, valuable IP, and we will be trying to capture that where we go after a specific trait. But if others come in and use that draft genome sequence to also make progress that's of benefit to growers, well, I think the GRDC's view and ours is that's a good thing.
Could this lead to the development of a genetically modified lupin?
Well, the genome sequence will facilitate efforts to use biotechnology to improve lupins, but in this project its main use is to try and help what we call marker-assisted breeding, to try and get a better sense of where the interesting genes and traits are so that we can follow them much more easily in conventional breeding programs.
What sort of timeline are you looking at to get a product from your research onto the market?
We're not looking at a timeline to get a product on the market in this project. We're trying to get this draft genome. I would anticipate that the markers that flow, some of the markers and some of the breeding outputs that flow from this will be having an impact on breeding programs within the 3 years of the project and then continue and grow with time to make breeding of new cultivars quicker and better. That will be the major output from the project in the foreseeable future.